We climbed out of the pickup. I looked down the street at all the cars parked against the curb. Holy smokes, Drover. We've got to mark all these tires before we leave.
Oh, my gosh. It tires me out just to think about it.
I know what you mean, but it's got to be done.
How come?
I glared at him. What do you mean, how come? Do I have to explain everything to you?
Well, not everything, but how come we have to mark tires in town? Aren't we off duty?
I really hadn't thought that one out to its logical extremities, but I had this powerful instinct, see? It kept telling me that a good ranch dog shouldn't rest until he's marked every tire in sight. That worked okay out at the ranch, where the traffic wasn't too heavy, but here in this huge town with cars lined up by the dozens, a guy could work himself to death. In other words, for the first time in years, Drover had raised an important question. Why should a ranch dog feel a moral obligation to mark every tire in town? Tell you what, Drover, let's mark three or four apiece and call it good. That's close enough for government work.
What does that mean?
I don't know what it means, but that's what Slim says every time he builds fence. And if it's good enough for Slim, by George, it's good enough for me. Come on, I'll take the first one and you take the second. We threw ourselves into the task and had just about notched up our four or five apiece when Slim saw us and called us back. Hank, cut that out. Come back here. We went over to him, sat down, and wagged our tails. Quit acting like a couple of country fools. You're in town, and there's ladies around, so mind your manners. He shifted his eyes to Alfred. Now, I'm going into this store to Christmas shop. You stay here close and make these dogs behave, or I'll take all three of you to the dog pound.
Okay, Swim. We'll be very, very good.
Slim grunted and checked to be sure the buzzard was still tied up in his sack. Then he adjusted his hat, slapped some mud off his pant legs, took a deep breath, and plunged into Foxy's ladies' wear, saying, "Well, here goes." About a minute later, he came back out, unloaded his chewing tobacco, and pitched it into the gutter. The three of us sat down on the curb and waited and concentrated extra hard on being good. The first minute went by pretty fast, but after that, the time sure began to drag. I hate sitting around, waiting, doing nothing, burning daylight, killing time. Fellers, I was bored. I got up from the curb and began pacing around, back and forth, back and forth. But with each circle, my backs and fourths got a little further apart until I had strayed, so to speak, from the sidewalk immediately in front of Foxy's ladies' wear. I had reached the north end of my pacing perimeter and was about to turn back south when all at once I heard a sound that caused my paws to stop in their tracks. I lifted my head, raised my ears to semi-alert position, and listened. Barking? Yes, barking. And it appeared to be coming from inside a certain big white fancy car parked at the curb nearby. The barking was high-pitched and shrill, and I noted a certain insulting tone about it. I listened more closely and began to decipher the message. What I had originally thought were mere sounds began to take on the shape of words.
Yee, 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 you can't touch me. Har, 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 I'm safe in the car. Ho, 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 you're out in the snow.
It was then that I noticed the little white poodle sitting on top of the seat of the big white car. I glanced around to see if perhaps he had been directing his smart remarks at someone else. Seeing no one else nearby, I swaggered over to the car. The window was open a crack on the driver's side. As I approached, the poodle went into a frenzy of barking. Yapping, actually, since poodles don't have whatever it takes to make a decent barking sound. All they can do is yap and yip. He yapped and yipped, and by the time I hopped up on my back legs and looked in the window, he was lunging at me and talking all kinds of trash.
You better just get your nasty paws off my car.
Excuse me, but I thought I heard someone over here talking smart mouth remarks. I don't suppose you'd know who that was, would you? I noticed that his hair was all clipped and shaped. He was wearing a rhinestone collar around his neck, and his toenails were painted. That was a new one on me, painted toenails.
It's a free country, and I can say anything I want to say. And what I want to say is yee, yee, yee. And if you don't like it, just come through that window and see what happens.
I studied the opening and saw that it was about 3 inches wide. You know, if you drop that window another 6 inches, I'd sure do my best to get in there with you.
You'd be sorry if you did. I'd tear you up so bad, you'd think you'd pick the fight with a chainsaw.
Oh, yeah? I'll take my chances. Go ahead and drop that window. He yipped and yapped.
I think you're chicken. I think you're scared to death of me, and you're just lucky there's a window between us. Otherwise,
Mr. Smarty Mouth, I'd make trotline bait out of you in about 15 seconds. If I could catch you, that is, which I doubt that I could.
Oh, you're a big talker, aren't you, huh? Huh? You just come through that window and see what happens. Come on, I dare you.
I hate getting involved in childish. On the other hand, a guy has to defend his honor. Okay, we'll just see what I can do. The poodle stopped yipping. His eyes got real big.
Don't you dare. You just better not. I'll call for help. I'm warning you.
I knew I couldn't jump through the window, but I couldn't resist giving the little shrimp a scare. I leaped into the air, and at the top of my jump, I wedged my mouth and enormous jaws through the crack and made some ferocious sounds that I figured would give the pipsqueak a thrill. It did. He went screaming to the other side of the car seat. I mean, the way he was hollering, you'd have thought I'd tore off one of his legs.
Help! Murder! He struck me! He bit me! He's trying to kill me!
This was turning out to be more fun than I'd expected. Certainly better than loafing around the curb. I kept it up, even added a few new sounds to give him an extra... huh? Unless I was badly mistaken, something had struck me on top of the head and knocked me into the street. I looked up, shook the checkers and stars out of my head, and saw the lady's handbag just before it struck me another blow.
You leave my foo-foo alone, you big nasty bully. The very idea, you scared the poor little thing half to death.
Well, hey, her sweet little foo-foo had... Trying to explain things to a crazy woman is never... Seemed a pretty good time for me to sell out and find a better climate. I think she had 2 rolls of quarters in that handbag. I shot the gap between her legs and made for the sidewalk. It was my good fortune that Slim had just come out of the store, so I made a dash for him and took cover behind his legs. He hadn't seen the woman. He just fished into his shirt pocket for a fresh chew when she marched up to him and whopped him on the shoulder with her bag.
There you take that, you ruffian! You ought to be ashamed of yourself letting your big oaf of a dog terrorize my poor little foo-foo.
What?
You've ruined his Christmas. He's a nervous wreck. He won't be the same for weeks. Oh, I'm so upset. I think I'll hit you again.
Now, hold on a...
Furthermore, I'm going to report this to the police. And I'm half a mind to consult my attorney. But before I do, I'm going to hit you again.
No, I don't think you will. She swung, and this time Slim dodged, caught her by both shoulders, and spun her around and marched her towards her car. Get in the car, ma'am, before you fall and break your neck.
Don't you dare break my neck. We have laws in this town, and you'll be hearing from my attorney. You, sir, are no gentleman.
Thank you, ma'am.
You, sir, are a bully and a bully.
Yes, ma'am.
And my attorney will be in touch.
She plunged into the car, scooped up little Fufu in her arms, kissed his face, gave us one last killing glare, and roared out of the parking space. We watched her go squealing down Main Street. Swim took a bite off his chew and looked down at me. I whapped my tail on the sidewalk and squeezed up a smile.
Thanks a bunch, Hank. After taking a buzzard through the windshield, what I really needed was to get attacked on the street by some poodle's mommy, the old rip. Merry Christmas, baloney. It don't take me long to get my fill of Christmas shopping. You can't buy anything in that darn store unless you know some sizes. How's a guy supposed to know sizes? Walk up to a lady and put a tape measure on her? I can see me doing that, and then picking up my teeth off of the floor. We stood there for a long time, watching the cars go down the street. Well, let's wander down to the saddle shop. If I'm going to be arrested and thrown in jail, I'd just as soon be amongst friends. He called a drover and little Alfred, and the four of us hiked a half a block north to Leonard's saddle shop. Along the way, Slim reached down and scratched me behind the ears.
You ain't much of a dog, Hank, but I'm sure glad you ain't a foo-foo.
Say, that made me proud. I held my head and tail high in the air and marched a few steps out in front of everyone else. In this old life, a dog takes the roses as they come, even if they are a little wilted.